welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
Today we're talking about Expendables 4, which is nominated for 7 Razzie Awards. These include Worst Picture, Worst Director for Scott Waugh, Worst Supporting Actress for Megan Fox, Worst Supporting Actor for Sylvester Stallone, Worst Screen Couple for Any Two Merciless Mercenaries, Worst Prequel, Remake, Ripoff or Sequel, and Worst Screenplay for Kurt Wimmer, Tad Dagahart, Max Adams and Spencer Cohen. Daisy, do you want to give it its proper name?
Expendables.
Okay, there you go. Do you feel better?
Yeah. I just feel like if you're going to have a crap film and a crap name, you've got to say it the crap way.
I mean, I am still mad that it wasn't Five Cream for Scream. They're just...
Well, this is it. We all... It's lovingly and informally known as that.
No, because I didn't like that film, so it doesn't get to be a fun name.
Oh, okay, so not lovingly.
You watched all 4 Expendable films recently.
Oh, my God, I did. So, depending on what order we're releasing these in, but we did already record the Fast X episode, the Indiana Jones episode. Mm-hmm. Was there another one with...
There was Magic Mike, maybe?
Magic Mike. There's a lot of franchises here. Mm-hmm. And I'm very embarrassed to say that I've seen everything up until the films that were nominated already for all of them in my own personal life for some reason. But these ones were... I did specifically watch Expendables 1 to 3, 4, 1 to 3, so that I could watch the 4th. In the way that it was intended.
Nice.
Honestly, it was the hard. They were the hardest films to watch out of everything. Not even this one. Yeah. Just 1 to 3.
Interesting.
Just 1 to 3.
Interesting.
They were probably my lowest rating out of. Now I can't remember what I rated everything because I was waiting until we'd done the episodes and then rated them, because I do find that my rating's much more accurate once I've spoken about how I feel about films. But those ones, because we weren't doing them for the podcast, I did review them on Letterboxd and rate straight away. And yeah, honestly, bottom of the barrel. Like I feel like you got off lightly by this being the only one.
So I was going to say to you, I thought that you would like this one least, in that you watched it after the other 3, and on the handful of reviews I looked at after watching it last night, people were saying that, like, oh, this franchise is dead, they need to let it go. But what it sounds like is that you thought this one was maybe better than some of the original ones.
By a sliver.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I would say that is because, and this is where I get into my data analysis brain, the people who are watching Expendables, are going to be the people that liked Expendables 1, 2, and 3. Except me. And people who are also masochistic. So my theory is, it's like survivor bias. Where they're biased because they're still here. Because most people who didn't like the first 3 aren't going to watch the 4th one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So, and the reason I like this one slightly more is just because I think comprehensively as a film, visually, things like editing, things like story plot, beats, it's a film. Whereas the things I'd struggled with before was that, and one thing I should say about 4 is the reason it doesn't work is, and everyone else agrees, is because it doesn't have the draw of the franchise, which is all of the action hero casts. Unfortunately, whilst the 1-3 does have that, it fails on every other filmmaking count. I think maybe 2 out of 3 were actually incompetently made. The worst thing about them was just that they were really boring.
Aww.
You've got all of these action stars from the 80s and 90s that have done plenty of cheese. Mm-hmm. They've done plenty of cool. What I said in my first review was this should either be super cool or really fun and stupid. It's neither. The first one takes itself so seriously that it's just a bore. And then you get on to two, and I think that was the one that I felt was just like so like nothing. Like the plot was so thin. And the worst thing about that is I think they tried to ease the rating, and it felt like every time a punch was thrown, you never saw the impact. And I did point that out actually in my review, and then I read someone else's review and I read that they tried to ease the rating, and that's why. So it was almost as if like you're taking all of the things that should make this unique. It felt so watered down and like just left for nothing. And then three, it tries to do a similar thing to what this does while still keeping a few of the main characters in, and it tries to do like a new generation. And there was a lovely surprise from Glenn Powell, massively underused. I was very excited to see him. There's a few other actors that I recognized, and Ronda Rousey was in there. She had her moment in that year, that sort of time period. I think it was like 2012 2013. But the whole issue is like people aren't coming to see that.
Yeah, they were coming for the 80s.
Expendables isn't that.
It's a dad like, movie. It's a dad. It's a fun dad movie.
Yeah, They've tried to make it for a new generation or whatever, but it's just like we've spoken on previous episodes about trying to make everything for everyone.
Yeah,
it's money, money, money. You lose audience. You actually do lose audiences that way. So that was kind of the. They got better, but that kind of was why that didn't work. And then this is just, it's completely, even though it did, the first three didn't work for me, ultimately they still have the what does make them the selling point, even if they didn't utilize it in the right way. This one doesn't have that. You've got like a cool guy shot of them walking down and it's fucking Megan Fox, 50 Cent and a bunch of other people. I can't even remember who they were. And it's just like, are you absolutely delusional?
Well, so that I you think this is... when does Jason Statham come into it? Is he in it from the beginning or is he a late addition?
Jason Statham is the one saving grace for this franchise.
Oh, so he's in it from the start.
He's in it from the start.
Because obviously he has real main character syndrome, but I wouldn't call him an aging action star. So I was like, I'm interested that he appears to be the lead.
Well, interestingly enough, one slight aside before I explain his role in the franchise, this was originally, I read, supposed to be a spin-off.
That makes
his
so
character.
Much sense.
But I think because Stallone potentially said, this is my last one, they wanted the recognizable name, potentially.
If it was his last one, then why did they do the thing that they do at the end?
Because he can't be weak. He can't die.
I did wonder if that was in his contract. Sorry, spoilers for that, guys.
Well, I think, yeah, I've given up with spoiler warnings. Now, you guys know what's up. Why are you listening to this if you plan on seeing it afterwards? That's what I would say.
Why do you plan on seeing it?
Yeah, well, this is it in the first place. But yes, so the main characters throughout the whole franchise are... Jason Statham as Lee Christmas and Sylvester Stallone as I can't remember his name. Unimportant.
I've got it in front of me. Barney Ross.
They are the main guys, and then everyone else is their friendship around them. But the first one is very like, it's supposed to be quite grounded. It's supposed to be quite like, you know, kind of like Sicario, kind of like, but they're just not very, they've not done a good job. It's just not very good. But I get what they were going for, because it wasn't ever this thing that we associate with it now, which is this big cheesy thing.
It got fast and furious.
It got faster and it got more furious and it got worse. No, I think the first one was probably my least favorite. I can't remember. I'll have to check the ratings, but I got what they were trying to go for. It wasn't the meta thing. Them being aging action stars was a meta thing. The actual story was about them being expendable. They being set up and being basically doing the CIA's job, dirty work for them, and then getting
Right.
Basically killed. But it was also about the fact that they are older, or he is anyway, and a lot of the other people are. And that's another reason why they're expendable, because what else can they do now? They've been mercenaries all their life. What are they going to go have a normal job? So you've got Mickey Rourke in it, who plays genuinely is like a really good performance. But then you've got like...
Best thing about Iron Man 2.
Perhaps. I can't even remember it, to be honest. You've got like Jet Li... Arnie shows up, Bruce Willis shows up. So there's plenty of good names. It's just not a very well-crafted film, but it's got something there. And then the second one, yeah, it's Jason Statham and Sylvester Stallone again with the gang. So it's always the... And then the gang gets bigger. That's when you get like Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and it's Jean-Claude Van Damme again.
Is Helen Mirren at any point?
No.
Was she... I think
she's
Red.
In Fast and Furious.
Well, no, I think there was like a film called Red, which was basically
yes,
like the same thing.
That was
thing
with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
So... I get what they're going for. They've just never been very good, in my opinion, because you can be trash, but you can be fun. Mm-hmm. But they've lost... They've nothing cool, nothing fun. And just the way it was shot, it was almost as if they did... They when they were capturing stuff, like fighting, it was just like there was no visual flair. There was no eye. It was just weirdly framed, weirdly blocked, weirdly cut. And there was nothing really there. The third one was more competently made, but it lost its... Joie de vivre, because it never had that, but like it's reason for being. That is reason for being, isn't it? No, that's joy of life. I can't remember.
I have a GCSE in French.
Raison d'être. It lost that because it's like, okay, so what are we now? We're just like a generic action film with Jason Statham and
Sylvester
Stallone. And then Jason Statham gets ousted in it, and it's all about Sylvester Stallone and his new crew.
Oh.
It's just like, what are we doing? Why are we here? Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one is just like...
It's the opposite. It's
okay, so we're
Stallone
really
gets
like,
ousted, and it's all about Statham.
Yeah, so we're really like scraping the barrel. Oh, and then like in one of them, Terry Crews is the main guy, and you think he's dead, and then he comes... And at the end, it turns out he was just like in a coma.
Oh, so they've done that before. Okay.
He was obviously just... film in Brooklyn Nine-Nine and couldn't fulfill his contract. So it's just always been, I believe in its, the franchise's like
potential.
Purpose. Like I like believe in it, like good for Sylvester Stallone. It's got something, it's got potential, but whoever has been making them for them, it's just not, it's just, they've not given any kind of respect for the actors, not giving them anything to do, they've not shot them well. It's just such a massive shame. Circling back to the original point, Jason Statham, however, I feel like has been the one consistent best thing about all of them. I've quite liked his character. It's classic Jason Statham, as you know, it's not that different to the Meg. It's not that different to, well, maybe a little bit different, but it's just him. Mm-hmm. But he has got screen presence. He has got charm. He does bounce off of other people. I do like his and Sylvester Stallone's character's friendship. But when that's all there is...
Mm-hmm. But that would lead me on to my opinion, because I was like watching this, and now I've had a bit of a stressful week. I'm moving house. I've not quit my job. I've handed my notice in. I've got a new job starting soon. But I'm like, quit my job. Woo. but yeah, so I'm busy just with life and... stuff. So I put this on last night while I started packing, and then I was like, am I enjoying this? I was like, oh god, I'm enjoying this. And I was like,
oh my god,
I was having a nice time. I was like, I quite like Jason Statham in this. Maybe this is
finally she's seen the other side.
I was like, oh,
welcome
I,
to I'm, the Statham fan club.
I was like, I'm still not a fan, but I was like, oh, I think it's because I don't like action films and I don't really like him, that I've only probably ever seen him in things where he's really badly miscast. Where I was like, oh, I get why he's very good at this. Okay, yeah, he has a lot of charm. Like, the scene where him and Stallone go to the bar to, like, be buddies and, like, get the ring back. I was like, oh, okay, this is cute. Like, I'm not that interested, but they have good banter. I felt him and Stallone had amazing chemistry. And I thought Stallone was very good at this. And I was really, really enjoying it. Well, not really, really enjoying it, but really pleasantly surprised how well it was going down. And then... they kill Stallone, which was good for the plot. I was like, okay. And then there was a bit with Statham going off to try and find his own thing. Loved him beating up the influencer guy. I was like, here, here, here. And then from the scene where he goes to fight slash have sex with Megan Fox onwards, I was like, oh, what happened? Where'd my film go? Mm. Oh no, like where's...
And I wonder if that is because it was designed to be a spin-off.
Yeah, because I was...
Because you're looking at what was essentially the main story and then you're doing the offshoot.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, I kind of... I'm bored now. And I found all of the ensemble of Expendables very boring. The guy that doesn't stop talking and keeps talking about golden showers was just irritating. Wasn't really sure what 50 Cent was bringing to the equation. No. And I did not like the drop of his song. No. Very on the nose. And then I found pretty much everything that took place on the boat onwards just a really slow, boring slog. And then... The CGI just got really bad.
Ooh, it was just... bad. You know when they get on the little boat at the end?
Oh, Megan Fox is so big. Why is she so big? Because I felt like the CGI in the first shootout where Stallone is killed wasn't that bad. But maybe they did. It obviously wasn't at sea. That was on the streets. So maybe that didn't have so much CGI. But oh my God, as the film went on, the CGI got worse. The acting got worse. The dialogue got worse. And by the end, I was like, please let it die. And it made me sad because I was like, wow, this actually had a lot of potential. Which is why I was interested in seeing what other people thought. Because I was like, is this what they're normally like? What's going on?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't really feel like there's been a consistent, like, visual identity throughout them all. They've very much been a reflection of the films at the time.
Yeah.
So the first one, I think, was quite early on. I want to say
like 2012 or maybe earlier.
2010.
Yeah, okay.
So it did have that kind of murky... we're abroad, the people aren't white, so the filter is yellow kind of vibe.
We love the colour of Mexico.
But it was more... Let me have a look at my review about what I thought. Oh, it was just that I said about the fun and the cool thing, it was just boring. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because they intended to be so sincere, without the strong script or the performances, there was no weight for it. So many cuts, bad staging made it illegible. Digital VFX and some of the gnarliest scenes really cheapens what would have been most exciting out of the action. One scene with Rourke, as I said, was really good, shows he has the chops. And then there's some funny moments, but it's not enough to salvage the whole thing, right? And then Expendables 2, two years later. Too serious, thin plot, no screen presence or charisma, all life drained from every aspect. The very essence of the Barely There plot should be an interesting character motivation for us to follow, and even that falls incredibly flat. Basically, there's a younger guy that comes in and he gets killed by the villain. Mm. So there's a character motivation for Stallone, but it doesn't... There's no character. Mm-hmm. It's just chess piece move from A to B. Yeah. And then... Oh, yeah, I said, waiting to see which famous action hero would show up as a former shell of themselves on screen next was the only entertaining aspect.
Oh, that makes
sense.
So that
went down. And then the third one, had Wesley Snipes in, and he was on his A game at the beginning. Loved it. Really good chemistry and humour. And then they write him out of the plot until the third act. And Jason Statham as well. So it's a step up in cohesiveness. Just can't engage with the action. Cuts seem to be cutting away from the impact. Blocking makes me wonder what they thought they were even attempting to shoot. I close my eyes every now and then when Antonio Banderas is on the screen to imagine Puss in Boots as part of the crew, which provided relief for all of a few seconds. I'm glad that that got brought up because the guy who you said talks a lot, who's really annoying,
is his son.
He's meant to be his son, and he's copying his performance.
Oh, but Antonio Banderas
completely.
Has charm.
He was a little bit annoying in 3. But because I enjoyed it, but I knew it would annoy other people. Because it just got a bit grating. But honestly, because of how, the rest of the film is, it was the only thing that was just keeping you, awake, basically. So there's my little trip through Expendables. And thank God I did one every week. Because honestly, it was the one I dreaded the most every week. So I'm so glad I spaced them out.
Good for you. That'll be me when we eventually get to Spy Kids. And I have to watch all the Spy Kids movies.
I really hope it won't be such a hardship.
I don't know, man. So let's talk about the nominations. We'll do Worst Picture last. So let's start with the actress and actor. And yeah, so worst supporting actress is Megan Fox, who I believe is also nominated for a different film this year.
She is.
And worst supporting actor is Sylvester Stallone. I'm really mad about Stallone's nomination. I thought he was bringing charm. I was invested in his character. I lost it when he comes back at the end and is not dead. And he's like, how are you alive? And he's like, meh. And I'm like, ah, come on, sell me a bit more here. But then I'm like, that's the script's fault. That's not his performance. Yeah. Because he has nothing to work with. But I thought he was bringing charm. I genuinely believed in his friendship with Statham's character. And so I'm a bit like, what was wrong here?
Genuinely, I've said it every time, but
people are
it's
mad.
Another, they used to be amazing and now they're doing crap films. Yeah. And it's just like,
that being boring. Let me get up his accolades. So still, you say that's them punishing Stallone. Stallone has been nominated.
I think we've had this conversation before.
So many. I can't even count.
No, but people still respect him.
I know, but I can't even count how many nominations he has, Daisy. There are so many.
Okay, well, it's not included in my theory in that people, they just think he's crap.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19... Oh, wait, some of these are multiple nominations, Daisy. Jesus Christ, hang on. One,
okay,
two.
Okay, so they really just don't like
three,
Sylvester Stallone.
4, 5, 6, 7.
But that doesn't
eight,
mean to say
nine,
he hasn't been punished all this time
10,
because of Rocky.
11, 12. We'll come back to that one. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 22. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 31, 32, 3, 4, 35. This is his 36th Razzie nomination.
Jesus.
Not including worst actor of the decade in 1990, for which he won. For a whole list of films. So in 1990, they declared him the worst actor of the decade. Then they also gave him a Razzie Redeemer Award in 2016.
It didn't last long.
From all-time Razzie champ to award contender for Creed. So he went from the all-time Razzie nominee, which I'd imagine he still is, to them being nominated for a thing. He was also nominated as worst director for the original The Expendables. Oh, sorry. He was nominated and won worst actor of the decade in 1990. In 2000, they gave him worst actor of the century for 99.5% of everything he's ever done. So I think what we're learning here is they just really fucking hate Stallone.
Yeah. I think that's all that can be said about that, to be honest.
I'm so glad I checked.
No, it's good. So he doesn't fit in with my theory. They just fucking hate his guts.
Jesus Christ. Boy. I want
to
see if they...
Who's to say, though, if this is warranted amongst the dreck that he has previously produced? I don't know. Well, I've not seen everything he's done.
It got nominated... The original one, which he directed, got nominated. That was the only award it was nominated for, was worst director for him. But they didn't like the first one. Then let's have a quick look at the second one.
I make it right for direction, to be honest, because it's
The second one didn't get any noms, or at least according to Wikipedia, you know, the best source. And then let me just check three, if I can find three.
I trust Wikipedia more than most things now, given the way the world is.
Accolades for free. And number three got three nominations for worst supporting actor for Mel Gibson, Kelsey Grammer, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Kelsey Grammer won.
I don't think he was that bad.
Okay. So they didn't like one. They liked two, or no one saw two, and then they didn't like three, and they don't like four. But yeah, I think Stallone doesn't deserve this nom, but clearly there is some beef there.
Yeah. Just looking at who else has been nominated for that one. It was Bill Murray, Michael Douglas, Mel Gibson for something we haven't discussed yet, Confidential Informant, and Frank Nero from The Pope's Exorcist. And to be honest, I mean, we haven't spoken about Confidential Informant yet, but this is not like the worst group ever. These are pretty fine.
Out of them, I'd give it to Mel Gibson. And honestly, mm-hmm. I don't even think that was a particularly bad. It's just of them all, it seemed like the laziest. But we'll talk about that in the episode.
Yes.
But yeah, I'd either give it to him or Bill Murray because of, again, they both just seemed like kind of phoned in performances.
Mm-hmm.
But that, actually, I don't even agree really with that. So yeah, just maybe they just didn't have that many people for supporting action. Really struggled when I was doing my own nominations for the Online Association of Female Film Critics, of which I am a member, to do good nominations, not bad, for supporting actor. I just didn't have anyone. I ended up doing Michael Cera for Barbie, which actually, in fairness, I think was deserved. Alan carried that movie. He was a gem. But yeah, I did actually really find supporting actor quite difficult this year on the flip side. So maybe...
maybe it was just a very average year.
I think it was also like a big leading man year. So there weren't that many like... smaller roles.
No small roles.
Yeah.
Mm.
Worst supporting actress for Megan Fox. Other than that, I don't think she deserves to be here either. There were times when I really enjoyed what she was doing. Her and Statham at the end in the bar, I felt like had good chemistry. I felt like at the bar, because I actually thought they were the nomination for screen couple. Because in the scene at the bar, I thought they had great chemistry and I got it. The scene where they are fighting / having sex was one of the worst written scenes. Oh my god, it was just, I thought it was badly shot, it was badly acted, it was badly written. Everything about that scene was awful. I was like,
I think the first scene where she's introduced was god awful.
Where she's just been hysterical.
Like, where she's just been hysterical. Because it felt like, and this harkens back to last year's Razzies with Good Morning or whatever it was called. Mm. And it just screamed of, we're just going to let her go off script.
Yeah.
Because it was just one note, consistent. I don't know. It was just, it genuinely was bad.
But then
throughout the film, it didn't ever get that bad again.
No.
It was just that scene.
Because that scene didn't bother me that much because I didn't know who she was in the context of the film. Like, I knew she's on the poster, but I don't know if she's been in the other films. I didn't know if they were, like, a really committed couple. So I was like, okay.
Because that's her first introduction. It was like, this is...
okay, that, because I definitely thought she had been in the third one because that's a terrible character introduction.
Yeah, maybe that's what didn't help.
Yeah.
No, he had a different... kind of girlfriend in the first two, no one in the third, I don't think. And then that's the first time you ever see him in this franchise.
So that's bad. But again,
and it just went on too long.
It did.
And it was like, it just felt like a bad improv scene. It was really weird. And then I didn't mind the fight thing. It was a bit cheesy, but because of what happened before, I was like, oh, it can't get any worse. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't hate her throughout the rest. It's just a shame. I just don't think people write good stuff for her.
No, and it's funny because actually I think she works so well in an ensemble because like you say, when she's with the bigger group and she gets to have the cut to her making a really sarky comment, it's great. And her best performance ever, and we've all well established, was her guest in New Girl. It was so good they brought her back because she was so brilliant in it that they got her.
So we know that she can do it.
Yeah, but again, that was an ensemble show. So... they knew, they were like, right, this is the kind of character you're going to be. So she can do it. But yeah, she likes to, obviously, she's probably going for the slightly bigger paychecks. And then also she's not getting written the good stuff. Because I would say all of my issues with her performance in this, and there weren't that many, are the script. I think her dialogue was atrocious.
And I just think I don't think people know how to direct her either.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how to get stuff out of her because this is a massive assumption, but it is based on seeing her in multiple things where the same thing happens, but we've seen her in her earlier career being able to hold a leading role. She wasn't that bad in Transformers. She was fairly good.
I quite liked, especially the first one. I thought she had a lot of charisma in the first one.
Yeah. Love her in Jennifer's Body. She's brilliant in that. And like you say, in New Girl, she can do it.
Yeah.
Even like Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen when she was young.
She knows what she's doing.
So she can do it. I just think people are like,
Well, like, there's...
don't know how to interact with her.
Yeah, there's, like, a shit film that I love called Friends with Kids, and, like, she plays, like, a potential love interest of Adam Scott in it, which is why I love that film. But, like, she's really good in that as well, because she's, like, a side character to an ensemble. And, again, like, they know how to use her because she's the sexy younger woman, which is a bit like a cliche, like, a roll your eyes, but actually she is quite good at it, and she's good with the comedic timing. And she's there with, like, Maya Rudolph and, like, loads of other comedians, and she doesn't... she only feels out of place because she's intended to feel out of place. But they work.
And I feel
that.
Like unless you put her in that role and know what to do with her in that role, I don't know, they kind of box her in. Mm. And I'm not saying it's all their fault. She's not the best actress in the world. I get it. But I feel like she's just, people just kind of make shortcuts with her now.
They're like, okay, we're going
to
put you in
this. They just want her to look amazing on screen.
Put you in a skimpy outfit, do a bit of pouting, do a one-liner.
Be sarcastic. Yeah. Like, I just don't think they give her enough support. They don't give her good roles or dialogue. And then, unfortunately, she can't act her way out of that.
Yeah.
So this is not the worst performance I've seen of her for the Razzies. But yeah, that beginning was awful. I hated it. Mm. But as it went on, it got better. And it made me realise that it's just like, I just think she's been put in these situations where she's got not a lot to work with, and she doesn't necessarily...
she doesn't have the power to rise above
it. The power to... yeah, which is unfortunate. I kind of feel like... I feel for her. Mm. I like her from what I've seen as a person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's... she's been done by the industry quite badly.
I think what I also appreciate her, though, like, the industry have treated her so badly, but she is still going. Like, she's like, no, I don't care that I've had
kids.
She's
using it to her advantage.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's still making a career out of her herself, and she seems like she has agency, so that's good.
I hope so. Okay, next one for worst screen couple was Any Two Merciless Mercenaries. Honestly, that just feels like a faraway nomination. It feels a bit lazy.
I feel like that's so lazy. Yeah. But I do get what they're trying to say with that category. It's about chemistry, right?
Yeah.
It's about working together, and I get it. There wasn't really much chemistry between this team.
But they aren't the mercenaries, the bad guys.
No, these guys are meant to be mercenaries, the Expendables.
I thought this was just, the bad guys.
I don't think so.
So if it's the actual Expendables, then yes, actually, in fairness, there was no chemistry between that team. Like, then actually I don't hate it as much, because there was very little chemistry going on there. It's up against the investors from The Exorcist, Ana de Armas and Chris Evans in Ghosted, Selma Hayek and Channing Tatum in Magic Mike, and Pooh and Piglet in Winnie the Pooh. I've still not watched Winnie the Pooh. So for me, it's still Salma Hayek and Channing Tatum, because I still believe that they actually did not want to be on the same room.
I actually think that this would probably be my vote, the Expendables one. Purely just because you're supposed to be an ensemble film.
Yeah. But none of it ever felt ensemble to me. All of the ensemble scenes felt like the B-plot to me.
And, like, spoiler alert, but Pooh and Piglet aren't ever really on screen together.
Oh, no.
Sorry to spoil it for you.
Is that why they're a bad couple? Because they don't have to spend time together?
I just don't really understand how it's a screen combo. They're not really...
Oh.
Sorry, I probably really spoiled that there.
I thought they would hold hands while they stabbed people.
Maybe they do. I don't want to spoil it. When I say really, I don't mean they're not ever. But I don't really understand that nomination.
That joy awaits me in the future.
Right, I will not say any more about that film. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, worst screenplay for Kurt Wimmer, Tad, Dagger Hart, Max Adams and Spencer Cohen. I think it does deserve this nom. The screenplay wasn't very good, and the writing of how Stallone is still alive is some of the worst writing I've ever seen, and so for that alone, it gets...
How on earth could he believe that man, who is easily a foot and a half smaller than him, and a completely different body shape and size... believe that was his corpse and not that other guy. I mean, looking at the other screenplays, with in mind Blood and Honey, without saying anything about it, The Exorcist is my worst. But Expendables ain't great. It really ain't great.
At the moment, I'd be torn between this and The Exorcist for this one. We'll have to see when I watch Winnie the Pooh and we do our roundup episode. if we do a roundup episode, because we have not discussed that, but we can discuss that off air. I have to move countries and I'm quite tired. It's not for people to know. Did we discuss worst director yet? No. Worst director for Scott Waugh. I felt, ironically, that he was out of his depth when he was doing the action scenes, and that when he was doing the, like, just people scenes, he was fine. But I can't say I would argue against this nomination either.
He was just fine in a sense of, like...
Yeah.
It didn't feel like there was any direction. Like, it... And I'm not saying that there is a bad version of that sentence where it's like, where was the director? What was happening? This is the kind of film that I feel like you don't need a director.
Maybe the that's way that what she thought up, she was doing on Don't Worry, Darling. She was like, this film doesn't need a director. Was that last year? Where's that showing? I would have loved a rewatch of that. Like, I don't think I really enjoyed it, but I would have enjoyed a rewatch.
It's just one of those ones where it's just like, it felt like a Super Bowl ad or something. It wasn't artistic direction. It was just, we need someone to yell action.
And I would say that's quite insulting, because there was a really good Super Bowl advert for mayonnaise with a cat that actually I thought was directed beautifully and was very cinematic.
Oh yeah, no, no qualms with ad direction. It serves its purpose, but that is to sell products.
Yeah. True. Well, it sold me the cat. I'm still never going to eat mayonnaise.
Well, there
you
go.
It was really damn cute.
What I mean to say is that it kind of just felt very glossy, very people are standing around on a set talking to each other. I can't really remember. I actually think I did prefer the action on this. I think if I did see any direction with anything, it was the action. Because, oh my God, Claire, you should have seen it in the previous place. It was incomprehensible, illegible. It was a hot mess. Whereas this, I was like, I can see what's happening. Wow.
Yeah, see, my brain just turned off. The end. My brain just turned off. I liked the scene where Statham was fighting the bad guy that you thought was the bad guy that turned out not to be the bad guy. But that guy's like a really famous like fight actor. He's from like The Raid and The Raid 2. So.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. There wasn't actually a lot of action in this.
No, sorry, I just need to name drop that guy because that was probably very rude. Oh, and actually there was another bit I liked as well. What was that guy's name? Working with... Was it Iko?
Tony Young?
Yeah, Iko Uwais. Or Iko Uwais.
Oh, yeah.
Just really good. And I actually also really liked the guy who teamed up with Statham that was Barney's old friend that he finds out.
That's
on the beach.
Tony Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. I really liked him when he turned up and they were like suddenly going to take everyone out. I was like, oh, okay. That's...
He was a side character. I would say he's a tertiary character. Who you believed have a life outside of this film.
Yeah, whereas...
And he's like the only one.
Yeah, the rest of the Expendables, I was like, do you guys just like sleep in a bunk and then they just like open the door when you have a mission?
Genuinely. Like, I think I was most disappointed by 50 Cent because it's a bit like...
Why was he there?
Okay, you're doing acting now. Interesting. What's this about? Like... And he was the most nondescript, and I'm not blaming this all on him, the character was the most nondescript thing. The only thing I can remember about his character wasn't even about his character, it was the fact that they played a 50 Cent song in it.
It's funny because he's...
So there's the only notable thing.
He's been acting for well over the decade and a half.
Yeah.
And so it was a shame. It was like, wow, go girl, give us nothing. Like, I was like, why are you here? Like, other than to just look grumpy. He looked grumpy really well.
But that wasn't his characterization, though.
No.
It was just extremely bland.
Yeah.
I would probably put him in supporting actor rather than the story.
Yeah, same.
And it's whenever we say this stuff, it's never out of like meanness or like harshness. It's
sometimes.
Just like if there's malice behind it. But it's just like, what are you going to do? This is a huge blockbuster film. And people. I just feel like when it comes to this level, there should be high expectations for this shit.
Fair. So then the last two nominations are for the worst prequel, remake, ripoff or sequel, and for worst picture. So how do you feel about those, having seen the others?
I wouldn't put it in sequel, that's for sure. I think it was probably the one that I think I didn't necessarily... God, I didn't really like any of them. I think I did prefer this one out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost as if it was like, wow, from a technicality point of view, this is better, but you've lost all the other bits that were like slightly good in the first three that made this something that isn't just a generic action film. This is meant to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put it as a sequel because I think the originals are worse.
Mm-hmm.
Picture though, let me see, what is it nominated for?
See, it's my, out of all of them that I've watched, I've got one, I've got to add one to the list, so, but that's fine. Out of all of them that I've watched, this would be my 9 out of 16.
Okay.
So
it's pretty down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about, no, as soon as Exorcist Believer's in a category, it's got no chance for me. And it's in both. And without saying too much about Blood and Honey, fine. Shazam, Meg 2, Ant-Man, and then Indiana Jones, all serviceable but disappointing as sequels. And I think I've already said in the other ones that I don't see them being worst picture. Although I do think Shazam was quite down the bottom for me last year. But I'm just trying to think if now I've seen everything, if I'm like other than Exorcist Believer, which I actually have vitriol inside, like I do have like an actual affliction to. I don't know. I didn't see too much last year. I'm like, what else could have been worse? But surely there must have been. The problem is that there's so many sequels out now or adaptions and things like that, that it covers both categories.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. A lot of my worst films were kind of indie films that I saw at film festivals.
That's the thing.
My worst big films were Babylon and Asteroid City. So I really just was hating on Margot, even though then Barbie was my top film. And then my worst sequel...
Wait, sorry, your worst was what, Babylon? You don't like Babylon?
I did not like Babylon. I thought Babylon was
really
very badly made.
Oh, I really liked it.
And La La Land is my favourite movie. My worst...
Damien Chazelle is very, like...
Yeah.
He's like, the Shyamalan of...
Yeah.
of drama and...
I just thought there was so much bad about that film. And it made me sad because I really wanted to like it. My worst rip-off remake sequel thing was The Little Mermaid. But then following that, it actually would have been Ant-Man, of all the ones that I watched last year.
Oh, well, we forgot about Magic Mike, didn't we? That would be worst picture for me. I also watched We Have a Ghost. That was pretty bad. I also didn't rate Chicken Run sequel and the Transformers sequel. And there was also that awful, pretty awful Reese Witherspoon.
Your Place or Mine.
Yeah, I think that was not great either. And also the Jonah Hill one wasn't great either. I think they could probably... I probably have enough of an affliction for all of those to be putting... And they were pretty big. I just think the Razzies always is like blockbuster, blockbuster, blockbuster.
Mm. Well, until another film we're going to talk about today where I'm like, where did you guys find this film?
Well, that's true, actually.
But yeah, I mean, they're the awards. I didn't think it was as bad as I expected, but it does really fall off a cliff. And I neither loved it nor hated it. But if you asked me to watch another one of these... or you asked me to watch another Fast and Furious, I'd definitely rather watch an Expendables film than a Fast and Furious.
Oh, God, I wouldn't. It's been the hardest thing about this season, watching these. And they're just way worse than I expected. I really thought that there would be something. And we know that I like to veer on the positive side and I like to see the good in things. But my God, it was difficult. to get through those. So all in all, I didn't mind 4 because it was the easiest to get through out of all of them. But considering the amount of work I've put in to get to this point, I feel like it should be punished a little bit. But no, I mean, I think in summary, It's not good on all accounts. It's pretty poor across the board. I think I'm slightly biased, slightly got rose-tinted glasses because it wasn't as bad as I was expecting. So I would probably say this is like, I would even, 2, 2.5. I mean, no, I didn't like it. It's a 2. And that's the same as the third one, I think. I think the first one, oh no, the third one I gave 2.5, I think, because that wasn't as bad. So it was 2 for 1, 1.5 for 2, 2.5 for 3, and then 2 for 4.
Yeah, I would give this 3. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't as terrible as I thought, but yeah, it really does fall apart there. It's not great.
That's on that. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.